I remember during certain historical events, 9/11 comes to mind very, very much in my mind and in my thinking. When 9/11 took place, you'll remember that when the Twin Towers fell, I remember people saying, "Now where is God? Where is the Lord? Why has God allowed those two towers to fall and all of those deaths?" How many remember when those towers fell? How many remember right where you were? Yeah, usually on a historical event like that, I could ask you probably where you were last Tuesday, and you'd have to think real hard. You wouldn't remember. I mean, if I said, "Where were you at 9:10 in the morning?" You'd go, unless you know you don't leave the house till 10 o'clock, you'd go, well, you would have no way because you don't remember those things, but you'll remember historical events. I remember right where I was. My mother called me. I was already awake, but my mom called me. We didn't have the news on yet. My mother called me and she said, "One of the towers just fell." And I remember turning the news on. And I remember watching them replay that same loop over and over. How many remember that? And I remember seeing that first tower as the plane went into it. And then I remember watching live television. Amen. I remember seeing it. Don't you remember? And that other plane begin to circle the tower and go right into it. And I remember watching in disbelief, in horror. Could this really be happening right before our eyes? People jumping out of the building. Yes. I remember that. And then watching those towers crumble. Devastating. And people say, "Where is God now?" See, that's exactly what they said on the ground. If you're the Christ, then get yourself down. And I remember people saying, and there are those that would say some of these things today, "If there really is a God, why did my daughter get raped? If there's really a God, why cancer? If there's really a God, why plane crashes? If there's really a God." But I want you to know, God is in those extremes. God is God. I don't understand everything. I don't know why. I know that God is a healer, and I will live my life knowing and believing that God is a healer. I will believe it, and if somehow I die of a disease that takes my life, I'm still going to believe that God's a healer. In the extremes. Somehow you got to find God. Just like He is in the high places of your life, you got to find Him in the low places of your life. Just like He's in the good times of your life, you got to find Him also in the bad times of your life. Just like He's on the mountaintops with you, you got to find Him also in the valley with you. You've got to know that right in the center of where you're at, God's there. In the darkest and in the brightest, He's there. The Apostle Paul, I thought, penned these words incredibly great. And from this, we arrive at Philippians 4:13, where he says, "I can now do all things through Christ, which strengthens me," or enables me. But we miss what he was saying that too. What he was talking about was circumstances. He says, I've learned that there's going to be times I'm going to be in want. And there's going to be times when I have plenty. Feast or famine, baby. Right? Times where there's more than enough. Times when there's not nearly enough. Times of laughter. Solomon wrote this, didn't he? Times of laughter, times of crying. You know, we just here a few weeks ago, we buried my wife's uncle. Then I think, isn't it amazing that you have death on this hand, but then Bo and Cindy's son, just him and his girlfriend, just gave birth to a brand new baby, Liam. Brand new baby boy. You understand that there are extremes. There are extremes. The Bible says that a seed must first go into the ground and do what? Die before it produces. We sometimes, we're all guilty, man. We want to, and I'm not saying suggesting that we don't, but we want to somehow shield our children from all the bad, don't we? Protect them from the world, so to speak. Protect them, put them in a bubble, right? Protect them from heartache and hurt. And maybe some of you have been hurt terribly in life, and you've thought, if I could just, if somehow I can help somebody not go through what I went through, I want to protect them so that they don't end up making and feeling some of the devastation that I have felt, some of the things that I've gone through. And you want to protect them, but yet you need to know that they need to trust God like you had to trust God. They need to learn that God is good all the time. On 9/11, God was still good. God was still good on that tragic day of history. God's still a good God no matter what. I don't care. And Paul was saying, he said, I've learned in all of these circumstances, in all of these situations, and all of it therewith to be content. High, low, day, night, good, bad, rich, poor, healthy, unhealthy, in everything. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. You say, but pastor, that's easy for you. You've got it made. You work 2 hours a week. You've got it made. You make $10,000 a week. You've got it made. $5,000 an hour. I could use a little bit of that, God. That would be great. Yeah, but that gets shopping money. Woo, boy, the shoe closet wouldn't be big enough. Everybody say, trust God. See, when I looked at this, I recognized something here. Even the Lamb of God himself couldn't win every battle. You ever look at your own life and say, where am I going wrong? Maybe you're not going wrong. You just think you ought to win always. You know, those of you that know, I don't play very often, but I like to play racquetball. I do. I enjoy it. It's a good sport. It's a fun sport. Wears you out pretty quick. It's a fun sport. Certain people I can go and I can play them and I can win every time. I mean, I will win every... You know, I'm a good winner. I really got to tell you, I am. I am a good winner. I am. I'm a humble winner. When I win, I like winning. I do. I mean, any game I play, let me tell you, there's no reason to play a game. You know how you're supposed to let your kids win? I never could do it. I was trying to teach them. If you're gonna play, you got to learn to play. I'm not gonna let you just win. If you win me, it's because you won me. I didn't just let you win me. I've played racquetball, Dave. Dave, if we're right 1 point away, I may be getting skunked. I'm going to do my best because I'm never giving up. Amen. But let me tell you, I can play my brother-in-law, Larry. Makes me so mad. He's got height on me and size on me. And he's got such a keen eye. That guy, he can hit that ball, and it's like crazy to get that ball. Makes me so mad. That ball whizzed by me, and I miss it. Oh! That's life. You win some, you lose some. God's blessed me over the years. You know, I've made some good decisions in life. I've had some success in life. I've bought at the right time, sold at the right time, and I've had some successes. Made some good money in life, being at the right place at the right time, sowing seed in the right time, and then I've done some things that I'm not so proud of. Bought a house when the market was booming, and the market fell. Had to short sell the house. I wasn't too thrilled about that. Are you listening to me? See, we think somehow that we're never supposed to face a difficulty. Did you guys notice the difficulty of Christ on the cross? That, by the way, is from the movie The Passion of the Christ. Did you notice how beat he was? How many would agree with me he had a bad day? But he accomplished eternity for all of us on that very bad day. You know what I've noticed? I've noticed when people really go through it. I mean, when they hit the world the hardest, if they'll stay their course. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Notice he didn't say, "Yea, though I spend the night." Amen. "Yea, though I stay a month." "Yea, though I just plant myself there." No, he said, "Yea, though I walk through." Is anybody today walking through? Yes. See, what you got to know is you just got to know life is what it is. It is what it is. Sometimes the car is not going to start. It's just what it is. Sometimes you're going to face something that's challenging in your life. And are you going to be the first one to just throw in the towel and say, "I'm done"? Are you going to just simply say, "Because I faced a difficulty, Jesus on Calvary's cross looked at the two thieves, one angry, one repentant, one saved, one lost"? I'm of the opinion, and I hope you are, Jesus would say on Calvary's cross, "It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it." How many can say that with me? It's worth it. That's what Job said. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." In the midnight hour, Paul and Silas being in a dark place. At the midnight hour, how many know the midnight hour is the darkest part of the night? The midnight hour, in the bottom of the dungeon where the waste of humanity was flowing at their feet. The septic system, if you will. And what are they doing at that midnight hour? "This is the day, hallelujah, the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it." Oh, Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. I'll rejoice when things are good. I'll give thanks when everything's going my way. See, you know what? Racquetball's good when you win or lose. I'd rather win. But it's a lot of fun even when you lose. Can I tell you, serving God is good all the time? Yeah. Is anybody with me? Serving God is good all the time. Yeah. Serving God is good even when things are against me. Paul said, "I am perplexed, yet not destroyed." Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God has delivered us out of them. Here's what the Lord told us: in this world, you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. God said, "I've overcome the world." Does anybody know what I'm talking about today? There are good days, and there are bad days. How many have just got up on some of those days and thought, "I'd just as soon go back to bed. Can I just wake up tomorrow?" And sometimes you can see those bad days are coming. And I want to ask you this morning, how are you going to face those days? Are you going to know that you know that you know that you know that God is still faithful? Are you going to know that no matter what, I've got this because God's got me? Amen. And that's why Paul could say in confidence, "I now do all things through or in Christ who enables me, who strengthens me, who carries me if need be. But I'm going to get through it. I love this, and I am so glad for this. Seasons come and seasons go. This too shall pass. Amen. Amen. I don't know what day you might be in right now. This might be a really good day, and I say, God bless you. This might be a really bad day. I say, God bless you. Because he's still on the throne. He's still in the middle. There are just things that happen. I don't always understand them. I really don't. I don't always get it. I can't always figure it out. Can I tell you what the toughest thing for me is? When some of you just stop coming. When all of a sudden you've decided it wasn't worth it. You go out and you leave. I tell you, as a pastor, as a leader, it breaks my heart, crushes me. But I'm going to tell you something, and I mean this with all my heart. I'm going. Did you hear me? I'm going. I'm going. I'm going to take as many of you that will go with me, but I'm going. And if you decide somehow in this life that we live to check out of the race, let me tell you, it'll disturb me. I will grieve, but I'm still running. I'm still finishing my course. I'm still keeping my faith. I'm holding on. How about you? I'm still going to go. I'm still going to go. My wife and I, we have such a wonderful relationship and a wonderful marriage. And we knew when we gave our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ that he had to be our first, our absolute priority. And I know that without a doubt, if I decide at any point in this race to give up, she's still going on. I know that. She's still going on. And she knows this, that if at any point in this race she decides to check out, I'm staying in. She knows it. Why? Because I've made up my mind. Amen. Amen. See, it's disturbing. See, I want to win the world. I want everybody saved. How many want everybody saved? I mean everybody. I mean, I want everybody saved. I want everybody saved. But Jesus didn't save everyone. There will be losses. There will be casualties. There will be those that won't go. You know, I've been in this race for a while now. Sometimes I just can't get over I'm as old as I am, and I'm not old, but I can't get over I'm where I'm at. Stop it. I cannot get over the fact that we're here. You know, I think I look the same as I did in high school until I look in the mirror. And ironically, even sometimes when I look in the mirror, I don't see it. Sometimes when somebody snaps a picture of me that I didn't know, and I see that picture and I look, who is that old man? Come on, don't act like you haven't done that. You know what I'm talking about, especially when I see my dad. My wife tells me yesterday, she says, you know, I got to tell you, you look so much like your dad. Thank you, dear. And to that I respond, so do you. I'm just saying. Do you know what I notice? Life just continues. Life just continues. Every day, the sun's going to come up. Every day, life is just going to continue. Life is going to continue. I challenge you to trust God. I challenge you to trust God. I challenge you to get your eyes off of the extremes and get your eyes on God. Squirrel! How many know what I'm talking about? My wife mentioned it this morning when she was leading our worship. She said, it's so easy, isn't it, to get distracted? Does anybody get distracted? It's so easy to get your eyes off of what you're supposed to be focusing on. There's a little bit of lenience in a vehicle, not much on a bike. You got to make sure you stay focused on where you're going. Because life is going to have with it all of its distractions. Losses are going to just happen. You're going to face losses, things that you're going to lose that are going to mean something to you. But I want you to know God knows what it is to suffer loss. He knows what it is to suffer loss. He knows what it is not to win at every place. He knows what it is. See, a perfect world, a perfect picture would have been both thieves repenting. That would have been a perfect picture, wouldn't it? That would have provided me a whole different message. That would tell me to tell you. This would be the message I would have to tell you is, I don't care. Even if you start to lose your child, let me tell you, believe God and that child will not die. But I can't tell you that. All I can tell you is this: God is good. God is faithful. And even if you lose that child, God still loves you. And God's right with you. And God will carry you if necessary. And you can make it. I don't understand. I don't understand the atrocities of life. The terrible things that people do. I don't get it. I don't get it. It seems like there's some people that have no value of life. You know, there was a time when at least if somebody took somebody's house slice, it seemed like what they took it for was had some at least an understanding. Now people will shoot you for $10. Shoot you for nothing just for the sake of doing it. Just to do it. For no reason. There's people that are just mean. They're just mean. I got to be honest with you, I don't like mean people. There are people that are just mean. It's like they take great pleasure in messing up your day. So I wish I could tell you that this day is going to be perfect for you, and I want it to be. I really do. I want this day. I want, especially on Sunday. Do you know this is the one day of the week, man, I ask God, please don't let it rain. Make it a perfect day on Sunday. I like every Sunday to be perfect. And I'd love for you to not only be fed here today with the Word of God, which is what I'm trying to do, but I want you to feel His presence. How many have felt His presence in this house? Amen. How many have felt the love of God's people in this house? Have you felt the love? If you felt the warmth of one another, I want you to have that. Then I want you to go from this afternoon and just have a tremendous day. If you could, just float above all of the struggles of life. Because Monday's coming. It's what I would want. I want that for you. I want that for you. But can I tell you, if you get hit with tragedy when you leave this house, you walk out the door and something happens that you didn't expect. You know, it's not like we expect tragedy. It's like that. There's a newspaper. This guy's reading the newspaper. And it's a crossword puzzle. He does a crossword puzzle. Says, your heart attack happens today. It's not like we get a notice of these things. You know, I mean, if you knew the thief was coming, wouldn't you have set a watch? That's what the Bible says, right? If you knew this was going to happen, wouldn't you do something different? If you knew your car wouldn't start in the morning, wouldn't you call somebody the night before and say, listen, can you be at my house at 7 o'clock? Because my car is not going to start. And if you planned for that, wouldn't that make it all better? Last week, I didn't know this. I was preaching like I was happy and doing good, didn't even know it. Didn't even know what had happened. We ran out of water. That's not good. Now, I had no idea. Now, I didn't know Laura Morton was trying to encourage my wife to tell her, we have no water. I didn't even know what was happening. They're back there. Like, what could I have done? I'm preaching. And there's no water. That's a bad day. It's a bad day. And I'll tell Laura, I've just got to. She said, I was perfectly fine until we had no water. And then all of a sudden I had to go to the bathroom like, you can't believe. It's like declaring a fast. You're not even hungry until you say you're going to fast. And then all of a sudden your stomach goes. It's hard to plan for things before they happen. I'm going to drive this home. We're going to get it here. I want you guys to just really understand. Jesus, who is omniscient, he is all-knowing. How many understand with me that Jesus on Calvary's cross was fully man? You guys understand he was all man, but he was also all God. You guys get that, right? He was all man, and he was all God. Remember how Jesus always had the edge? When he met the woman in John chapter 4 at the well, he already knew the woman at the well. How many know what I'm talking about? When he saw Zacchaeus up in the tree, he already knew who Zacchaeus was. When John's disciples came to him and said, are you the one we seek? And he said, I am. What was he saying? Before Abraham, I am. I am. I am. I'm who you seek. Don't go after anybody else. I am. I am. So can I tell you, while he was on Calvary's cross, the I am, the one that is the same yesterday, today, and forever, hung on Calvary's cross. He knew the thief that would meet him in paradise. And he knew the thief who will reject him to the end. Do you think for a moment God does not already know what you face before you face it? He already knows. He already knows. He's already provided his sufficiency through that moment that you face. He's more than enough. He's more than enough. Come on, get your mind around that. God's still more than enough. God's still more than enough. Lose your home? God's bigger than that. Lose your vehicle? God's bigger than that. Lose your loved one? God's bigger than that. He knows what it was to suffer loss. He knows what you're going through. Glory to God. He bore our sin, and he lives to intercede. Hallelujah. 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 When my back is up against the wall, and I don't know how I'm going to get through it, God's right there. God's right there. When your body does what it shouldn't do, you face sickness and disease. The prophet said, whose report will you believe? Job said it again. Even after skin worms have eaten my flesh, I shall see him. For I know that my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. Mine eyes shall behold him. I'm not going to have to wait for somebody else to tell me what God looks like. I'm going to see him for myself. And how many realize with me? Sherry, make your way if you would, please. How many realize Solomon used the words to describe this life as a vapor? How many have found out, man, you blink your eyes? Anybody know what I'm talking about? When our children were born, man, I was so excited looking at our two babies as they came into life, and I thought, man, honey, we had the awesome responsibility of bringing these two lives into this world. Moms and dads, when you look at that child, don't you think, that's the most beautiful baby I ever saw in my life? Listen, you guys know this. I've told you, I got to give myself away. There are some babies just aren't pretty. But yours is pretty, isn't it? I mean, there's some ugly babies. There's just some ugly babies. I'm just saying, from my perspective, there's some ugly babies. And I've always had a good, because I can't lie, I just can't do it. It's not right. Somebody shows me their baby, and if that baby's just kind of ugly, just being honest, I'm being real with you. I'm just saying, I'll look at that baby. Well, that's one baby, I'll tell you what. That's right there. That's a baby. Woo, glory. That's a baby right there. You don't know what I thought about your babies, do you? You're still trying to think about what I said when I saw them the first time, aren't you? You're already trying to rethink that, aren't you? I've looked back at some of the baby pictures. You know what I'm talking about. And you blink your eyes and they graduate high school. And you blink your eyes and they've been married for years. And you blink your eyes and you've got a grandson that's going to be 16 years old in July, that's taller than his daddy. And you've got a granddaughter that just hit her teens. She's 13 years old. You blink your eyes. Solomon said, life is a vapor. I believe God gave me this. I want to share this with you. My wife's mother passed away in 1976. My grandmother, who I believe was instrumental in me becoming who I am by depositing Jesus Christ in my life. I really believe that. I can't wait to see her again. I want to thank her for the hours she shared the Word of God with me as I sat and we studied together. I want to tell you. But I honestly believe this. We get to glory. We'll see our loved ones, and I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I'm not ready for God to take me right now. You know, you understand, God, I'm still here. I'm still preaching. But I've thought this. The first thing I'll probably say, at least in my mind's thinking, is, Grandma, man, let me tell you, all that happened, you've been gone so long. And my grandmother's going to look at me. I believe this from the Holy Spirit. I believe this. She's going to say, well, I don't know what you're talking. I just got here. I just got here. We're still singing the first song we started singing in worship to our Lord. We just got here. We'll run into my wife's mother and she'll say, oh, it's good to see you. Mom, we've missed you for so long. What are you talking about? I just got here. I don't know if you even begin to understand eternity. See, we think life, however many years it is, we think it's so long. It's a blink. It's in light of eternity. Is anybody getting this? In light of eternity. So what I'm telling you is, this struggle you may think is so long, so difficult. The devastation of the loss is so great. It's a moment. It's a moment. I'm not trying to trivialize it. I'm not trying to demean it. I'm just telling you, God's got so much